Today's episode brought to you by that one time when you were at a sleepover as a child and you watched that one movie that everybody said, oh, that was stupid, but you found it kind of scary and you just laughed it off because you didn't want to be seen as the baby of the group. So you just laid awake all night thinking about that troll coming to turn you into wood while all of your friends were sleeping just fine. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Screen Test Podcast. I am Chaz, and with me, as always, is the living human embodiment, because Jim Varney's dead.
R.I.P. Can I say that?
The living human embodiment of Ernest himself, Aaron Milton.
I think you could say, like, the spirit of Jim Varney. I think that's safer.
You're Jim Varney's spiritual descendant.
Yeah. That feels a little bit more comfortable. Feels like we're not quite stomping on his grave. We're being a little bit more respectful. Yeah. To the late Jim Varney, RIP.
Tell you what, though. If there was going to be anyone who would accidentally stomp on a grave, it would be Ernest.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is a great point. When you think of Jim Varney, do you think of Ernest, or do you think of Toy Story?
I think Slinky Dog is number one for me, and then Ernest is number two, yeah. I have a question for you in my notes.
I
have seen Ernest Scared Stupid as a child, but I did not grow up with the Ernest movies. I have a memory. Maybe you can click into this for me. Maybe it's even... it's probably Ernest in the Army. I have a memory of Jim Varney as Ernest in a tank. I really hope that's from Ernest Joins the Army.
Yes. The one that distinctly... and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get into Scared Stupid here, because this was a fever dream of a movie for me.
Oh my gosh.
Because there were so many elements that have just been, they're so deep in my brain, but I couldn't quite make them out. And then as I'm watching it, it was just coming out of me. But I distinctly remember, and I have not looked this up, an Ernest movie where he's riding a giant cannon. It's funny that you said tank.
Maybe that's what it was.
But he's riding around on a giant cannon. And again, fever dream here, stuck in my brain kind of stuff. I want to say it was Ernest Goes to England or something like that. Again, I have not looked this up. It's just as we're talking about it now. It's like I'm trying to remember in my head all of the Ernest films that I grew up on. Because obviously you didn't grow up on them, but I did. And that was just something that popped into my head. And who knows? Maybe I'm mixing two films into one. But yeah, Ernest films, man, they were a big deal for me. So for me,
okay,
Jim Varney is 100%. He is Ernest.
Yeah.
I don't even know where this started. Where did Ernest even start? We probably should look up the history of this.
Yeah, I think it was a series, because it was him talking to someone else. And I think it was like an educational series even, maybe.
I vaguely remember this. Like,
they turned it into
movies. So we see this in Scared Stupid, and this is like a cornerstone of all Ernest films, is a thing where he does multiple characters, where he's like basically doing monologues.
Yeah, I've got notes.
Okay, you know what that, again, we'll get to this a little bit, but that little section of it, you know what that reminds me of much is Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Okay, yeah.
Where it's like a close camera on the face doing these characters. That feels like such a 90s thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say a name, and let's see if this jogs any memories. Do you know a character named Vern?
Yes. Okay. That's the lady, right? The old lady?
No. Like, apparently Vern was the guy. The educational guy. And again, I didn't grow up with this. I did very limited research. And Ernest was his foil.
Because he always says, I can hear it in my brain, him saying Vern. Oh my goodness. Man, this is starting to percolate in my brain a little bit.
Vern
was
apparently the straight man to Ernest's insanity. And we've kind of tipped our hat. We're talking Ernest Scared Stupid. It's spooky season. I said, what's a spooky season movie we can watch? And you said... Okay, let me back up even further in this conversation. we missed a month, I believe.
Yeah.
Did we release in September?
I don't think so.
And I was like, I started this conversation saying, we have to get back on recording. When can we record? What are we recording? You answered me, and you gave me the schedule. And then last Wednesday, so we have people over every Wednesday. Last Wednesday, it was like 9 o'clock at night, and I told my wife, people have to leave. I'm a 32-year-old man, and I can't explain it, but I have to watch Ernest Scared Stupid tonight. So I stayed up until about 2 a.m. watching this movie because I had to. And then I text you, even though I started the conversation of when are we going to record, and you very clearly answered, well, not next week. I am in another state. Let's get back on it the following week. I stayed up till 2 in the morning watching Ernest Scared Stupid.
Crazy.
And then text you, and you were like, nope, I'm out of town.
And I said, and you were just like, dang it.
So, I didn't grow up with Ernest. We've watched Kung Fu Surfers, Surf Ninjas. We've watched...
Warriors of Virtue?
Yeah, this... Warriors of Virtue. This was the hardest movie for me to set through this.
Well, you were watching at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and taking notes.
Yeah, taking notes. So that's a little bit of your problem. Man, we might come at this at different angles. Because if you're going to go negative here, I think I'm going to be a little bit more positive.
So apparently, it's maybe not a person. It was just the show called Hey Vern, It's Ernest. It went for one season. Each show started off with Varney saying Vernon, like in some way of the very first ads. Then it got shortened to just Vern.
Vern, yeah.
So there you go.
Hey, you learned something new.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. I'm not here to enjoy Ernest Scared Stupid. I'm here to inform the masses. So if you want to pause it right now, I'm fine with that as long as you come back and listen to our breakdown. But please don't do it at 2 in the morning, but go watch Ernest Scared Stupid.
There's probably some places to rent this if you are interested in watching this film. We both watch it. There's just an upload of it on YouTube. You will be watching it in like the lowest quality possible, which is, to me, fine. This isn't one of those movies that needs HD. You get just enough out of it. So if you do want to watch it on YouTube, you could pull it up right now.
Three things. First off, at the beginning of the night, after everybody left and I started, my wife sat down. My wife does not share the interest in movies that I share. So every now and then she'll try. So she sat down maybe 20 minutes into the movie and tried to watch a little bit. And she just said, "What is happening?" And I was already irritated. It was already late and I was taking notes on this movie. And I said, honestly, this is not the movie I'm going to try to explain to you. There's no way I can possibly back up and give you the last 20 minutes of what's happening and why this man is luring children into the woods. I can't do it.
All right, Chaz, I want to hear this. Like, where were your issues with this movie?
Oh, we'll get that. I've taken several notes. We'll go line by line. Before we get there, though, I have another problem of having to watch this movie on YouTube. So let's start with just the production companies. This is a Touchstone Pictures movie.
Yes.
Which known for Apocalypto, Dead Poets Society, Signs, The Prestige, and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
With one of my all-time favorite labels, like in the early 90s when they did that little thing where it danced across the screen and then hit that little mark. Yeah. Man, I love Touchstone Pictures in the 90s.
It was also Touchwood Pacific Partners 1, which Hocus Pocus, Super Mario Brothers, very in that realm. Then Newsies and Mighty Ducks. These two are connected. And you may say, why? Just because they have the word touch in their titles? No, because Touchstone Pictures doesn't exist anymore. And it has been taken over. Its role has been taken over by 20th Century Fox. Touchstone Pictures was the Disney production company for movies that weren't token Disney. So if you got a PG-13, you got an R-rated movie, or you got an Ernest Scared Stupid, we're not putting that Disney. We're throwing that through Touchstone. However, Disney now has a streaming company that they throw all of their stuff on. Ernest Saves Christmas is on Disney Plus. Why could I not watch this on the thing that I pay every month for? I had to watch this on YouTube. This should be, both of these are Disney companies. This is a Disney film. This should be on Disney Plus.
Well, let's get Disney on the phone and let's just ask them straight up why that's the case, because I don't know the answer to that.
I'm going to be honest with you. They might be taking phone calls right now. They're not doing so hot. So they might be taking suggestions.
Well, this might be part of the problem.
Yeah.
Ernest Scared Stupid. It's Halloween time. It should be on there.
You'd bring subscribers, I think. At least two.
Well, I'd be one.
Yeah. Imshell Producers Group also produced this movie. Would you like their rundown?
Sure. What do they make?
They have a lane for sure. Hey Vern, It's Ernest is where it all started. But they've also produced Ernest Saves Christmas, Ernest Goes to Africa, Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest in the Army, Slam Dunk Ernest, Ernest Rides Again, and Mr. Bill Goes to Washington.
Mr. Bill. Love Mr. Bill.
Just the one Mr. Bill thing. Everything else has to be Ernest.
Yeah.
You want to jump into this thing?
I'm very excited to jump into this thing. Yes, so please.
We're 10 minutes in. Let's just talk about the movie. We're going to start with some just stock footage from horror movies and stupid reactions for the intro titles. And then we're going to open on Briarville, Missouri. When? Long ago.
I don't know. Just sometime.
Yeah, long enough where they're dressed like Puritans, but also I'm pretty sure Ernest says it was his grandfather, so maybe 40 years ago. Who's to say? Yeah. A girl runs through the woods screaming at something, which is caught by some Missouri pilgrims. I don't know. Did everybody dress like this? They look like they're about to have the Salem witch trial. Yeah. So I'm guessing people weren't in Missouri in the 1700s, or at least white settlers weren't in Missouri in the 1700s. So
you've already thought way too much about this, Chaz. You've already overthought this movie, and it just started.
Yeah, we're 1 second into the
film. It's crazy.
The people from long ago bury the monster under a nice little tree. But all of this is just a story being told by a little girl. But this also true.
This is the best. Like, this is such a good start. And I love that the type of writing that went into this in total, but especially here at this intro, is so funny. So they decide to bury this monster alive.
Yeah.
But they specify, we're putting a tree right here too. They
didn't just bury it. Just so you know, we're putting a tree on your alive.
We're putting a tree on you. I don't know why. They don't really, but it's obviously important to the plot, but it doesn't make sense why it does that to begin with.
They have to put that tree there because it's important later.
Because it's important later. That was literally it. But there's just no other reason why it wouldn't just be buried alive or just killed in any other manner. Just kill it. There's literally a million other ways to kill it. They're like, no, we're burying you alive, but spoiler we're putting this oak tree on top of you, buddy.
Yeah, spoiler alert. The book that they had or wrote, maybe, tells you how to kill it. And it's very simple specific way to kill it.
Which we will get to later. So the movie already starts amazing, in my opinion.
Oh, man.
This is perfect. I know the stakes within seconds of this film. I know what's happening. Oh, love it.
Well, legend has it that the troll put a curse on the town leader and that his descendants would get increasingly dumber with every generation. Or cut to Ernest.
Oh, yeah.
Who is a garbage man, which for some reason means putting a bunch of soap and water in recycle bins?
Okay, so here's another thing that I remembered about Ernest as I was watching this. Like I said, it was like a fever dream, and I was just living in the 90s again. And so right there, each of his descendants will become more and more stupid. And yet, the first thing that it cuts to is Ernest with a really elaborate invention.
Yes.
Of course. The invention goes wrong, but I was like, oh yeah, that was like his calling card, is he had these crazy, crazy inventions that he created. And I'm like, that's not a stupid man.
Yeah.
Like, that is actually, in fact, the whole film, Ernest tends to be right about everything and actually like pretty good at solving a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, he does some goofy things. I would say he was goofy, but I wouldn't say he was stupid.
Children in immediate danger, but hey.
Okay, yes, but also without him, then you know, he wouldn't have saved the entire town. We're jumping way ahead here. Yeah, but I do think that this is a weird way. Anyways, this is a weird way to cut to, he's really stupid. Yeah. Now look at his awesome invention here.
He's really stupid. Okay. He built this working robot.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Like, this is a weird way of kind of introing him. But of course, at this point, this was not the first Ernest film. So I guess you're just supposed to accept that he is dumb. But go on, Jess.
Is this like core Ernest canon that this is why he's dumb?
Yeah, I guess so.
They're answering that question 4 movies into the series.
Now we have that answer. Yeah.
His invention, as you mentioned, goes haywire and he's thrown into the back, but he is saved, saved by his dog whose name is Rimshot. Why is his name Rimshot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just Rimshot. A weird name for a dog.
That's a good name for a dog.
They say the dog saved him. That dog almost murdered him. He turned on the trash compactor in the back of the car.
I was a little confused by this too, right? So Ernest stops the trash compactor. That's like the thing. He stops it, but then he still got crushed by it.
Yes.
I was very confused by that. Like, he at the last minute figures it out, saves himself again because he's not a stupid man.
Just turns back on.
And yeah, but then when he gets pulled out, he's actually compacted and crushed. And I was a little confused by that. Again, we barely even started this film and I've already got things to say. Was this not... I'm wrong. What happened to the dog companion in movies?
Oh.
That was such like a centerpiece. Not only that, but having a small dog was such like a centerpiece of films. What happened to that?
Of the 90s. Yeah, I saw this dog in my mind immediately said, oh, I remember Wishbone.
I remember Wishbone or the dog in the mask.
Yeah, mask.
Right? Like this was such like a thing and we stopped doing the dog co-pilot here. What happened with that? Let's bring that back. Bring that back. I missed that.
Mayor tells the sheriff to get Ernest to clean out an old, what I thought was abandoned house, or fire him.
Yeah.
How does the public arm community work? So the mayor's the boss, who employs one cop, who is the sheriff, who's in charge of the trash man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, this checks out. This is how my town works.
Well, you
that's how my town works. That is the structure.
The lake or the river. Things are different.
I am up in the heights. Yes.
Turns out the house isn't empty. Eartha Kitt lives there.
She does.
She, by the way, this is probably in my notes somewhere. I haven't even made it to her in my notes. She is giving it her all. She is very invested in this movie.
Oh, she was not messing around when she came for this movie. I think she might have been looking for an Oscar. That's how serious she was taking this movie. When no one else was. No one else was taking this movie serious.
So the fact that we learn that there is someone who lives here, Eartha Kitt, makes me wonder, okay, what is Ernest's job? This is her private property. What is his goal here? He can't just start throwing her things into a trash truck and taking them away.
Well, if I remember correctly, I don't think they implied that the house was empty. Just there was a lot of trash there. But again, it still raises the same question.
She's making metal sculptures, though. It's not like she's just piling trash.
Yeah. Again, I think you're thinking too much into it.
Which has nothing to do with the plot, by the way.
No, but her existence is kind of important. Her existence is important. And I guess, but she didn't need to be kind of like a creepy swamp woman to be important.
She also didn't have to be someone who solders giant pieces of metal together all day long.
But I think...
I very much thought that was going to come into play.
Like, no, you know how in these, like, kid movies, like this... this was such, like... These were such cliches where you needed to have a character that was really, really scary, but actually ends up being, like, the hero in the film. That's such a cornerstone. I mean, even just off the top of my head, just thinking of Home Alone. Yeah, that same kind of setup where you have
Pigeon
this
lady.
The scary person that ends up turning out to be pretty awesome. But this movie almost immediately convinces you she's nice. So it was like they were trying to set it up to where she's mysterious and scary and who knows about her, and then we'll reveal it later. Instead, they kind of reveal it pretty early on in this movie that, like, oh no, she's actually just like, she's kind of crazy, but she actually knows what she's talking about. And she's helpful.
Yeah, also, not to jump ahead, well, I am gonna jump ahead. Some Puritans come back to life at the end of this and know her. So is she forever old, or was this 25 years ago?
that's an excellent point. But you're not supposed to ask these questions, Chaz. Too many questions.
Okay, sorry. That just popped into my head as you were talking. But yeah, where I had the biggest issue, and again, this is jumping ahead, I'll come back in the notes, is at a certain point, Ernest says he needs to build a trap. And I thought to myself, it's a great thing she solders for a living. Nope, we're just going to throw out a dumpster and just hope it works.
That's
just
in the director's cut. You didn't see the director's cut, but in the director's cut, that is a very integral part of her story.
If anything, I would say there's an Eartha Kitt cut of this movie. No. She did it her way. But as you're saying, they have to have that scary individual who's like this this like wise sage that comes in to save the day. We're going to meet her. She comes out with a flamethrower.
Yeah. Do you have a problem with this flamethrower?
Why does she have a flamethrower?
Chaz! Because she builds them. That's part of the story. She builds flamethrowers. You'll never see that flamethrower again. But at that moment, she had one.
When they're fighting an army of trolls, it might be good to have a flamethrower.
Well, spoiler alert, Chaz. The flamethrower's not going to work on them.
You can put something else in that flamethrower. I'm not going to say what it is yet. It's basically a garden hose.
Okay. Well, the vessel that is good for getting the trolls dead... That's true. Okay? And it's not a flamethrower.
No.
Okay, yeah, see? The writers thought ahead, Jazz.
Oh, my next note just says, what is happening when he talks about the Ottoman Empire? So you're going to have to explain here. I did not grow up with Ernest.
Okay.
He's 30 different people.
So, okay. Yes. So this is very, very earnest, okay? And that's why I kind of thought, like, oh, this had to have been something... Because, again, you're watching an Ernest film when there were other Ernest films when Ernest was a character that already existed. So if this was your first introduction to him, I could see why this would be a little bit strange. But this was kind of a cornerstone of Ernest, is he would do these multiple characters. So he would kind of like do a monologue, but it would constantly switch between all of these characters. Now, as a child of the 90s, this was the most hilarious thing
when
you had ever seen.
When he was dressed as a woman?
Like, yes, when he was, especially as the old lady. It was just pure comedy. There was nothing funnier in this world than when Ernest was doing these characters. So when I saw this, again, the fever dream was, oh my gosh, yes, I remember all these. And it was just blowing my mind on how great it was. I like how your experience was like, what is happening right now? Yes, this was, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't advance the story one iota. Well, I guess it kind of does. It kind of gives you a little bit as to the next elements of it, but very little. for how much work they put into this. How many costumes are used here? Gosh, very little's done.
This was a whole day of filming. I can almost guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
It made me tired just watching it.
You kind of think like, oh, they'll do like three characters. No, it's like eight.
Yeah, it's so many.
It adds characters that didn't even need to be there just to do one.
And none of them make sense together. Like there's a safari trekker in there for some reason.
Yeah, but they're classics though.
Right.
They're classics. They've existed. He's got to throw them out there. You just don't understand.
I don't understand.
You don't get it.
Which brings me to the third thing. And it's just a simple question for you.
Yeah.
Is Ernest your Pee-wee Herman?
Well, Pee-wee Herman was my Pee-wee Herman, too.
Okay, so you were a Pee-wee Herman guy.
Yeah, Pee-wee Herman was still around, so I was still a fan of Pee-wee Herman. But you could absolutely see, I do think, I've never really connected these pieces together before, but I probably should have, because I'm, or maybe I'm dumb, like Ernest. But those characters are very similar. And so Ernest might exist because Pee-wee Herman exists.
The whole time I'm watching it, I was like, this is just redneck Pee-wee Herman. That is who this is.
Yeah. I didn't really think about that until this very moment. But yes, there are absolute similarities there.
Is that going to taint your feeling for Ernest or not? You're all in still.
No. Ernest was still doing some different things. In fact, I could see where as a person coming from the outside looking in would look at Pee-wee Herman and think he's way more annoying than Ernest.
And that's a hard battle. Who's more annoying?
Well, because Ernest has that awesome gravelly voice.
The Jim Varney voice.
The Jim Varney voice, where Pee-wee does the more high-pitched.
That's true.
And kind of a little bit more in your face. So, in some ways, I think Ernest is actually a little bit more relatable to the common man.
Yeah, and honestly, I know they're both deceased, so I don't want to throw anybody under the bus here.
Yeah.
But if you were going to ask me while both were living, who would you rather spend the day with? It's Jim Varney all day long.
The dude wears like a denim vest. That is sick. Yeah, you definitely want to hang out with that guy, for sure.
Apparently, there's a delivery here, and my dog is very upset about it.
Huh? I do not hear this, Jez, so it might show up on the recording, but I do not hear it.
Find out. Only time will tell. This is where my wife decided to sit down and try to make sense of this, so she's missed everything up to this point.
All the important plot points, yes.
Ernest, being real stupid, leads children into the woods and disturbs the tree from before that the troll is buried under with very, very spacious, just a hole that has not filled in. It looks like they dug a hole. They put the troll in there. They said, you know what? Let's make this hole five times bigger. And then they just dropped a tree down on it without putting any dirt. That troll's got so much leg space.
Yeah, but again, that was something that I just distinctly remembered in my brain is how awesome it was that you could kind of walk in and out of like under this tree. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, that was so cool and creepy. Again, forget the plot. It doesn't matter why he took them out into the woods. It doesn't matter why he went to that tree. Mm-hmm. They created reasons.
Yeah, they got to build a... Because the Ottoman Empire, you've got to build a treehouse that's higher than the bullies.
But yet, once again, we're introduced to the fact that Ernest is not a dumb man.
And do you know how not dumb he is? Him and three 11-ish year olds?
Yeah.
Is that what you would guess? Actually, they may say how old they are, but I don't remember.
You brought your belt right.
They build a treehouse, a very, very intricate treehouse with... like cannons and everything in about 3 hours with not even a hammer, zero supplies they walked into that wood with.
Yeah.
That walked into the woods with. And now they have this fully functional battle station up in this creepy tree.
Yeah. They end up blasting some bullies with this thing. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why do they call this guy stupid? Like that's not, I couldn't do any of that
right?
stuff.
That's insane.
But now they're at the tree, and I don't know if you saw the beginning of the film, Chaz, but Ernest being at that tree is not good.
Not good. His ancestor, or just his uncle, who's still alive, got a curse put on him.
The Puritan uncle he had.
Oh, man. So, of course, you know, because he's dumb, Ernest unleashes the troll, and the kids immediately are like, you're on your own, dude. They're out. Except for Glasses. Glasses is immediately captured by the troll. And turn into just a wood figurine. What is the goal of the troll, if you will? I know he wants to multiply himself and capture all of the kids in all of the world. But they're not, like, eating kids. They're just turning the kids into pretty detailed small wooden sculptures. And dogs. Can he turn anything into a sculpture?
I don't think so.
Is that just a young dog?
I do remember. Yeah, it's a very young dog. It's a child dog. So that's why.
Human years.
This was this was one of my earliest memories of being like genuinely scared of a movie.
Okay.
And this is where I'm going to give kind of my first set of compliments. To answer your question, all they say in the movie is the trolls just want to collect all the children. That was it.
Right.
And end of, that's the end game here.
Because kids are annoying.
Kids suck.
Like, if we're going to live on this earth, we don't want these guys.
These guys are just, get them out of here. My first really, really good compliment here for this film is the troll looks awesome.
He does look pretty good.
I'm a fan, and remember, this is a kids movie, and we've dabbled on this type of conversation here in the past on just like kids horror films. I think when they're at their best, they're just creepy enough. They're just unsettling enough.
They make it to where you don't want to go to bed, but once you're there, you're going to sleep just fine.
Yes, exactly. And this is a perfect balance where they made that troll really creepy. And what the troll did was scary to me. Turning these kids into wooden dolls. Like, you watch them literally turn into a doll, and it was like, oh, that's going to give me maybe some nightmares tonight. But you're also kind of hooked. Like, you're also kind of intrigued by it. So my first real compliment here so far in this movie, although I have a bunch of other compliments, my first is the troll looks great. Just an awesome looking troll.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I thought the troll looks good, but if it says anything, it's going to take me out of it because its mouth is clearly not going to move. But it did, and it decently matched.
Yeah.
Like, what? Of course, it's not like an actual mouth. It was just up and down.
Yeah.
But whoever was in that suit, they may be the highlight of this movie. It goes Eartha Kitt.
Yeah.
Poor soul who was in the troll costume.
And Ernest.
That's about
and
all the
Ernest. No, Ernest. And Ernest.
Jim Varney, of course. Yeah. Very little praise to anybody else in this movie.
Well, this is also one of those movies, and we, again, a topic we've hit on multiple times before. There used to be a time in movies when kids were awful actors, and this was definitely during those times when just the kid actors are just, they're virtually staring at the camera as they say their lines. They're just, they're not very good. So, fortunately, I'm glad that that is an area in movies we've evolved where I now expect kids to be decent actors, just decent.
Yeah.
But back in those days, I would not expect them to. If a kid was in a movie, I was like, oh, crap.
No, you just rolled down the street and said, hey, kid, you want to be in a movie? You want to be in an earnest, stupid movie? this one's scared. Jason Bateman on Smartless Podcast once said that he is a little worried about kid actors now because they're so good. And he knows, like, what he has to do to get in such an emotional place.
Yeah.
He's like, what horrific thoughts are these kids tapping into at like 10 years old to be such good actors? So maybe these kids lived a great life because they didn't have horrible experience to tap into to be that scared. We've already said this, but I'll say it because I put it in my notes and I worded it a little bit different than Kid with Glasses. That little nerd that Ernest lured into the woods got trolled. Apparently, trolls lay eggs, but they're going to be called Brussels sprouts through this whole movie.
Which I love that. I love calling them Brussels sprouts. I get they look like slimy Brussels sprouts. It's a good thing to call them.
They do.
Calling them troll eggs is a little bit more unsettling.
It is. But they grow out of the tree. Again, you really jacked up on this tree here. This tree just got enchanted and became a troll tree.
Yeah.
It's literally growing trolls.
Yeah, you were better off dropping this thing into a lake and just letting them.
Yeah, we hit it with a lawnmower. It's clearly 1987 and you guys are just dressed like Puritans. You can get a riding lawnmower. where are we at in my notes? It is up to Ernest. So apparently Eartha Kitt is also a modern day, we'll just call her Jan Helsing. She is a hunter of all things mystical and evil. The sheriff, the one police officer in this town, doesn't believe him. So since there are not two police officers, it's just up to him and five kids. He calls himself the Great Redneck Hope, which, okay.
I got a good laugh out of that. I thought that was pretty great.
I got a good laugh out of it once, but he said
he does
it
say a lot.
At least twice, maybe three times.
Yeah, he does kind of dip into that well a few times. Again, he is the one who knows everything that's going on. He's the guy that's actually the smartest adult in the room. And yet they want you to believe he is dumb. I feel like there's better ways of showing him as being dumb. It's not this way.
Says a lot about our society, doesn't it? Ernest enrolls the help of two swindler brothers who are looking to make a quick buck off of the troll, and the kids venture back into the woods. Jonathan, I'm calling the troll Jonathan now, by the way, because he needs a
name.
He gets another kid, and if he gets five kids, an evil army of trolls will take over the world, just get rid of all the kids, just exist.
Yeah, they said that they will take all of the children.
Yeah. All right.
Chaz, that plot point was very clear. So stop trying to question it. Stop trying to question it. It was very clear.
That's fine. My question is, then what? Do trolls just become parts of society?
Yeah. Instead of Planet of the Apes, the sequel was Planet of the Trolls. Yes.
Man, Ernest and the Planet of the Trolls. I'd watch that movie.
Could have been a good movie.
Ernest sets a trap for the trolls, and Ernest's best friend, an 11-year-old boy, is attacked by bullies dressed as trolls. So, as I mentioned before, he knows this woman mm-hmm. who builds very elaborate metal sculptures just as a hobby. But he says, we need to build a troll trap. I'm going to take this dumpster. I'm going to write hotel across the front of it.
Yeah.
Done.
That's a pretty solid plan. I mean, a troll would be looking for a home or a hotel or something like that. And as we've already established at the beginning of the film, that the dumpster will crush you.
That's very true.
So it was a good plan all along. So again, don't know why you're taking shots at it.
Well, I just think he miscalculated how invested in real estate this troll was, because he seems very comfortable with his tree home, you know?
Yeah, that flamethrower probably could have come in handy when needing to burn down a tree.
Yeah, why let the tree stay there? Because the treehouse is in it now. Treehouse is important later. We gotta leave.
There you go.
But I just love that if this troll gets 5 kids and turns them into wooden sculptures, the troll army exists. I'm not going to question that. Fine. But the tree just happened to grow 5 perfect little notches where you can put 5 little children made of wood.
It looks good on camera, Chaz.
This tree is the villain of this movie, if we're being honest.
I think that was what we missed the entire time, yeah. You know? Because you're 100% right. If these dum-dums don't just plant a tree while they're burying a troll alive, you know, none of this would happen. That really is the problem here. The problem is the tree. Get rid of the tree. Yeah. Burn it down with the flamethrower. Move on.
Move over. So sometimes I just write notes for myself in this or just for conversation, which if you've not seen this or if you're not actively watching it, might not make sense. So I want to know if you understand what I'm saying here.
How much of this makes sense if you have not seen? Nothing we're saying makes sense if you haven't seen this movie or if you know nothing about Ernest.
So my note here is the blocking of this movie is so weird to me. And my reasoning is everyone who talks is like 2 inches from the person they're talking to's face. Why did they make them stand so close together for their dialogue?
I'm going to guess this, obviously, this was a decision made by the director. And the director's like, no wide shots, all right? What we need is you guys to be as close as kissing,
right?
And give your lines. I'm not really entirely sure on that. But I could be just misremembering, but I just feel like that was such an earnest thing.
Close people.
Everything was about kind of like over-exaggerated characters and facial expressions.
Facial expressions,
for sure. And truthfully... Yeah, truthfully, I think that was, again, a hallmark of just children's movies in the 90s anyway. But when I watch this, that doesn't stick out to me because that always felt like what Ernest films mm-hmm. were doing.
Okay.
And they were always kind of doing these really tight shots, and it was all just about exaggerated, over-the-top acting. As a professional Ernest fan here, as someone, yes, I would say that this was somewhat normal. But
I did look to see what else this director had done, and it's just Ernest top to bottom. So he was very well-versed in the Ernest world. So
I love that.
Making choices, man. Somehow. Okay, so Elizabeth is like, I'm done. Oh, Elizabeth is one of the children, by the way. I didn't catch most of their names, but Elizabeth.
Oh, I couldn't tell you one of them. I couldn't tell you a single name.
I know Elizabeth because her mom says it like 98 times from here on out. Elizabeth is like, I'm done with this. This is horrible. This troll is... Does she know they're turning people to wood at this point? Maybe. It's either that or this troll is eating children. I don't want to be part of this.
Because they saw the first boy, Glasses Boy, as a troll, as a doll. So yeah, she would have known that.
Oh, they saw the nerd. Yep. Okay, so she says, I'm done with this. I'm going home. Her mom is like, no, you're a nerd too. It's Halloween. Get out there and be scared. And she's like, no. And her mom's like, but really?
Yes.
And she's like, oh, okay. So there is one scene in this movie that drives me bonkers. And we'll get there. It's at the end. But, or close to the end. But she leaves. The mom leaves. She looks under her bed because she's like, there's a troll under my bed, isn't there? She gets back in her bed and she turns around. And this thing has somehow got in their house, got up the stairs, got in her room and in her bed with no one noticing.
Yeah, but you got to admit, that's nightmare fuel, dude.
That was the scariest part of this whole movie for me.
That guy is just all slimy and she looks over and he's just laying next to her, just like, hey. And it's like, yeah, that is...
the noise he makes.
That is not cool. Like, that is very unsettling. The whole shtick, I mean, this is scary movie 101, right? The danger is right there, and you look, oh, it's not there, and it's right behind you kind of thing. That's all that scene is. Chaz, why are you trying to figure out how the troll got there? It does not matter.
Is he magic? I want to know if he's magic. How is he getting
there? He 100% is magic. The guy was buried alive. And he cursed Ernest to make him stupid.
Yeah.
But clearly he's magic. So there you go, Chaz. Magic. He got in her bed.
He poofed himself into her bed.
Yeah.
Man, the laundry. Just imagine how nasty those sheets would be. This is the slimiest guy.
That slime coming out of its face is not, like, Tide's not getting that out.
No. That's not enough Tide in this world. You're going to need more Tide commercial should just play this scene.
Yeah.
This is why you're going to need more Tide.
Not enough Tide for that. Yeah, definitely.
Jonathan gets kid number 4 and decide Kenny needs to be kid number 5. The town is upset that children are missing. You know, how the trash guy told him there's a kid, or told the whole town there's a kid eating or morphing troll on the loose, and now kids are disappearing. One, either look into that trash guy, or two, maybe believe what he's been saying this whole time. Except for one dude who's maybe my favorite person in this whole movie. People are like, my child's missing. Has anyone seen Emily? Elizabeth. I've already forgotten her name. Has anyone seen her? She was just in her room and now she's gone. And then there's this one dude who's like, yeah, my trash hasn't been picked up for 2 days. People's children, human beings are missing. And he's like, I got 2 bags outside that need gone. Equal importance, right?
Who can be the one to determine what is an emergency or not?
Right.
For that man, that night, at that time, his trash was an emergency. So who am I to judge?
Only thing that would have been better is he's like, I got, my trash isn't being picked up and these dead kids that I'm throwing away. Oh, man. The bullies hide in the troll trap. If you're dressed like a troll and you come across a dumpster that says Troll Hotel across the top of it, you're absolutely going to get in it, right?
Yeah, obviously. It's got your name on there.
So kids are going missing. And then Ernest shows up, and this guy who has knowingly been luring children into the woods shows up, and he's like, look what I have, 2 kids in a dumpster. Would you not at this point say, this dude's a kidnapper? We're about to make a Denis Villeneuve movie here, and it's going straight prisoners.
If Ernest was, like, killing these kids, they would never arrest him. Like, apparently he just got a free pass, even when clearly, at this point, all right, if you are a police officer at this point, okay, literally every piece of evidence points towards Ernest. That man should be arrested and investigated as to where these children are going missing.
Absolutely.
And yet, they just kind of keep brushing him off as, you know, crazy old Ernest over here. But he 100% is a massive suspect here.
Oh, yes. You've got Ernest, who is far and away the number one suspect. Mm. Eartha Kitt Flamethrower, who's probably suspect number 2.
Yeah.
And then why need your trash picked up so bad? He's number 3 in my book.
Oh, yeah.
As every cop show and every cop movie has always taught me, there's always only 3 suspects, so you're done. You don't have to look into anything else.
That is it. That is the list. Yes.
Kenny, who is the sheriff's son, by the way, I've got his name in here too. He has been telling them, Ernest is right. There's a troll. I've seen it. I've seen what it's doing to my friends. You have literally said kids are missing in this town. But then the sheriff, who's Kenny's dad, says, Ernest, grow up. And Kenny's like, oh, well, I guess we're all dead. I'm getting in the car with Dad. I'm going. This is just over.
You keep trying to poke holes in this thing, but it seems iron tight right now. So
it's bulletproof.
Yeah.
Ernest quits. He quits his troll hunt for 7 seconds. And then he decides, Eartha gets sketchy and just has some wooden kids on her nightstand. And she just throws them into a bag haphazardly. Be a little careful with those. Those are Puritans.
Those are Puritans.
Be careful with the Puritans. Yeah. Where they were just like part of a Renaissance fair. Jonathan gets on top of Ernest's truck. So Ernest gets out of the truck and has a fist fight with Jonathan while the dog drives. And not a fist fight. I misremembered it. It's a sword fight.
He has a sword. Yeah, no, he's stabbing the roof.
Why do they have swords? Yes.
You know, again, great scene all around. Love this scene. That's not even the crazy part to me. It's not even the sword part. It's the pulling the truck part that is truly mind-blowing. When he's pulling the truck, when he's got the rope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, after the sword fight and he falls off.
Which once again, you're like, ooh, is he magic? Yes, he's magic.
Oh, yeah. He's got Hulk strength.
Yeah, he makes that joke about how much horsepower the truck is. Oh, man, it's so good. I loved in this scene when he runs over, I think he calls him Booger Lips.
Booger Lips. Again, one of those jokes that was good, funny the first time.
It's a good description, though. It's a good description.
It is great.
Doesn't he say some kind of line? I should have wrote this down. Like, kiss the chrome Booger Lips or something like that?
Yes, and then he hits him with the truck.
Which, also, great directing here. Because clearly it's just a dummy.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to dissect this scene. So what they do is they clearly take a dummy of this troll sitting in the road.
Probably just an empty suit.
Oh, definitely. And here's why you know it's got to be. So the camera follows the truck as it's reversing to go run over this troll. And just as he's hit, the camera pans to a hill.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't see how dumb this thing looks as it's really getting hit and just laying in the ground.
Yes.
And I loved that so much. And this is, to me, is such good directing. I can't believe I'm even dissecting this. Because I think a normal movie, like a normal just cheap movie, would have just hard cut. That's how they would have handled that. They would have handled him getting hit and hard cut to something else. Where this director was like, no, I want to follow the truck all the way through. So how do I make this thing not look stupid when it gets hit? We'll just put a hill covering when we make the scene. So it's a complete one shot. Love that skill there. That stuck out to me. So you can trash this all you want, but I loved it.
No, that's creative directing, because you're absolutely right. Before impact, anybody else would have hard cut either to an expression on Ernest's face or next scene.
Oh, yeah. And he would have made a good face, like a good ooh type face. He would have done a really good job of that. Yeah, you see just enough where you can see the truck making contact with it, but you don't see its stupid looking, body.
Yeah, just flailing about, clearly a dummy.
Yeah.
Fun fact, we've made it to what trolls have apparently, or this troll has avoided to make it this far. They're just lactose intolerant.
Yeah. We find out
extremely lactose intolerant.
The thing that kills them, which apparently was information we should have known this entire movie because the Puritans knew it.
Two pages were stuck together.
With milk. Milk kills them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone ends up at the school for a Halloween party. If you've got a mayor and one police officer and one dude who picks up trash and that's your entire community, then I guess just everybody meet at the school. Yeah. It's clearly not a large town. I learned some parenting lessons here, and this is the scene that drove me mad. I question your director here, Aaron. So a kid says she wanted a different costume, I believe. I didn't take notes on it.
Yeah, love the scene.
Her mom's like, no, you're wearing that. And she said, I hate you. And the mom basically says, oh yeah, well, I hate you too.
I hate you too, yeah.
And the kid turns around. There's a beat, and it's a very intentionally emotional, I love you, mom. Oh, I love you too. My wife would kill me, but I think I'm going to try this. Next time my kid says anything negative to me, I'm going to just be like, you know what? You're the worst human being on earth. And apparently negging, is this where negging started?
Yeah, no, it is. This is in a lot of parenting books. Like, this is known information. What you need to do is tell your kid that you hate them. And what that will do is create this black void of despair in their gut. And they'll reach out to you from that place of despair. So, what you're seeing is a good example of how to properly parent your child.
Get your children into a place where they are so depressed that they just come back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This kid could be a child actor now and be great at it, because she clearly has some childhood trauma that she could tap into to get those tears. Oh, man. Apparently, unconditional love is the heart of a child. And this is, again, not to break down one of your all-time top five favorite movies, but we've already learned that milk kills them.
Yeah.
So now there's this unconditional love that's vaguely like part of it, but it's only part of it because, spoiler alert, Troll's going to level up at the end where milk doesn't bother him anymore.
Yeah.
He's going to take some of those lactose pills and turn, we'll get there. But is that just because the troll has to get stronger than the other trolls? So now we need something more than milk. So let's make it the heart of a child, which we're just going to say Ernest has, even though we said it was stupidity at the beginning. It's not stupidity. He's actually a really smart guy. He's just got the heart of a child. Am I on the right track here?
Does that make sense?
No. Does any of this make sense?
Chaz, you're overthinking this, Chaz. this is fun, okay?
It's fun. I just don't understand.
It's a little bit of creepy.
Why unconditional love is part of it, unless you already knew how this was ending, so you're like, okay, let's rewrite the milk.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. They're probably writing in some type of event that'll happen after the milk. All right, Chaz.
Yeah, because if it's milk, anybody, the mayor could win the day. But if it's unconditional love, then Ernest is the one who's going to save
it. Yes, it has to be Ernest that saves the day. You're probably right, because none of that makes sense. But it kind of makes sense if you want to write an ending where Ernest is the only hero here.
Yeah, or one of these several children that literally have the heart of a child. But Ernest has the heart of a spiritual child. Just as you are the spiritual successor as Jim Varney, you now have the heart of a child. Jonathan gets his fifth victim. It's Big Bully. Don't know their names. Rimshot, the dog, is turned into wood, and the troll runs off to finish his kid collection.
Like that.
But the town is in hot pursuit, even though the rest of the town have no idea how to kill these trolls. Insanity ensues.
Yes, it does. I mean, when you're being invaded by trolls, insanity is going to ensue.
Whatever. Yeah. You take a gun, but then the troll eats the gun, and another troll smacks that troll in the back of the head, which makes the gun fire, or just eats bullets.
Maybe. That's a classic goof. Love it.
Yes, it is. The troll army begins to hatch, and some new nasties are created. There's just booger lips everywhere.
Yeah.
The adults of the town begin
great troll to be designs.
Collected. Oh, great. Great. All of them. Unique.
Yeah.
They all have their own look. They're all their own individual. They all are lactose intolerant.
Yes, they are.
The adults start to get collected by the trolls, which I thought was an interesting. They were just like farming humans. And Ernest is worried. Is he worried that the children are getting taken? No. This right here tells me Ernest has the heart of a child. Hmm. Is he worried about the people who are just being massacred by trolls? No. He's worried, somebody's going to blame me for this.
Oh, man.
And if that's not the heart of a child, I don't know what is.
That is a good point. But I mean, at this point, he's been blamed a whole lot. So
it's true, for nothing.
Yeah.
He's been blamed for everything when he's done nothing. But yeah. This is his fault. Let's be real. He let the troll loose. The kids show up to save the day, all while learning that sometimes the way to solve your problems is just gruesome murder. They put the milk directly into water guns.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming is what you were referring to before, not a flamethrower.
Yes. It's better than a flamethrower milk shooter. You just use a water gun.
You really want that violence with a gun instilled in that child from a young age. Jonathan decides, I'm out. I'm going under my tree. My little demon babies can handle, well, not demon babies, troll babies can handle this. And he becomes a demon by leveling up and gets some face phalanges. I'm not thrilled about the look.
Oh.
Gross.
I mean, they're gross.
It's a good demon look, but it is real gross. Which is even better for how Ernest has to save the day. The grosser this thing is, the better the ending. And that brings us to Ernest saving the day by loving the troll unconditionally. But I've not had problems before, but I have a problem with this.
You have a problem with that?
Again. Yeah, it's me overthinking it. I understand that. This is 2 a.m. It's kind of like shower thoughts. I go to bed at 8:30. When you have me up at 2 a.m. watching this movie, I am dissecting every second. So the thing is unconditional love. Ernest realizes that because Eartha Kitt tells the mayor for some reason, but Ernest is in earshot, so he finds out too. So he hugs this troll and loves it unconditionally. He's only doing this to kill the troll.
Yeah.
I have a hard time saying that is unconditional because he is conditionally loving him. I also have a hard time calling it love because he's just doing this to murder this troll demon.
No, see, Chess, this is what you're missing, right? Okay. What he loves is everybody around him. He loves the town. He loves the kids so much. That's where the unconditional love is. So he's using his love for others to kill.
So the hug is just metaphorical.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's just so the demon can't try to run away.
No.
I'm going to hold you here while I love other people.
Now, Chaz, I love that, like, unconditional love is such a stupid part of this movie because I vaguely remember a movie called Interstellar, where that is the central piece to space travel.
I'm not saying that's a good plot point in that movie either.
And yet, for some reason, that is some miracle film that exists that everybody just loves so much. But when Ernest does it to kill some trolls, what a stupid plot point, you big dumb idiot. I don't know. I'm sorry. I guess there's just an unequal playing ground here between Interstellar and Ernest Scared Stupid, I guess.
Let me get this on the record. What you're saying is Christopher Nolan has an Ernest Scared Stupid level of understanding what love is.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, not even a hesitation. Just, yep.
There's clearly, if you see this film, Christopher Nolan took a lot of inspiration from Ernest Scared Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he saw the love that he had for children in Ernest Scared Stupid. He needed that in Interstellar as well. He needed somebody, just this kind of plain old everyday man to be the hero in this. Clearly that's from Ernest Scared Stupid. Clearly.
That's fair. And?
Yeah, a lot of crossover.
In Ernest and Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar, similar.
Very, very, very similar. Very similar. All right, Chaz, I have kind of like an overall bone to pick with you here, though.
Before you do that, let me just finalize this breakdown with...
Okay, wrap this up.
With the troll gone, all the kids are de-wooded, even the ones that Eartha Kitt kind of shoved in there at the last minute. And this is where all the Pilgrim kids just knew Eartha Kitt, so either they're only 70 years old or she's 400 years old.
Yeah, I mean, my assumption is she's 400. My assumption, she's like eternal.
Give me that story.
Chaz, it's just...
I want you to write...
They were going to make... they were going to make a sequel to this. It was going to be a prequel.
I want a prequel. Yes. I want you to write a graphic novel, Eartha Kitt. I don't even know what her name was in this
movie. Oh, I don't remember either. I remember three names. It was Ernest and Rimshot. Those were literally, I mean, you named the troll Jonathan, so.
You said I remembered three names, Ernest and Rimshot.
Did I say? Oh, I thought I said two. I meant two. I don't
because
know why.
Because your great-great-grandfather or your dad was cursed by a troll.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So end of film. All right. Here's my issue, though. All right. You look at this movie with such a critical eye. I would argue, especially people in our kind of generation, they look back with very, very, very fond eyes on Hocus Pocus.
Oh, I do not like Hocus Pocus.
I like Hocus Pocus. I think Hocus Pocus is completely a fine film. And I'm not saying that Ernest Scared Stupid is at the same level, but it's not that far behind. It's not that far behind. So maybe that, all right, so fine. I'll give you a pass then. Because I thought for sure you'd be like, oh, Hocus Pocus is great. It's the greatest family Halloween film ever made. I would say that this is, all right, okay, even then, we're not that far off. The child actors are just about as bad. The plot lines are just as poorly thought out. And I would argue that this does a better job of being creepy and scarier than either of those films, Halloween Town or Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus with her ex-husband or whatever, he scared me a little bit. What was his name? I don't remember. The dude with his mouth sewn.
The zombie?
He scared me a bit. But yeah, on the whole, now the trolls, there's multiple of them and they have more screen time. Yeah. They're gruesome looking. Old Lady Hackmore, by the way, is the graphic novel. Young Lady Hackmore is the graphic novel I'd like for you to
read. All right. I'll start working on that. So all in all, I would say this is a solid family Halloween film. I would have no problem. My kids don't watch movies, but if they did, I would have no problem showing this movie to them. I think it's completely safe to show to little kids. It's going to freak them out, but that's good. You want to be a little scared.
Yeah,
that's part of the fun.
We talked about this. We've talked about it before. We were scared all the time as kids. I realized the other day that I saw, and we've talked about, maybe that's why Ernest Scared Stupid wasn't there for me, doing sleepovers and stuff like that. I saw like Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, way too young. And I realized the other day, I saw my first R-rated movie in theaters. It was Deep Blue Sea. Deep Blue Sea came out in 1999. I was 8 years old when I saw Deep Blue Sea. So maybe I just moved on. Maybe this is like four-year-old stuff, you know?
Yeah. So your problem is, I mean, your baseline was rated R horror film. So when you're watching Ernest, you're like, this is baby stuff. Because it was.
I didn't sleep a lot as a child. I had problems. I would say for my kids, though, I want to mess with them more existentially. So Over the Garden Wall is our Halloween thing.
I do want my kids to kind of question their own sanity and kind of existence. That's the type of horror that they should be exposed to. I like where you're thinking. You know, it's not just about an ugly looking, you know, booger lips troll.
Yeah.
You know, that's not scary.
I don't want you to watch this thing and be like, ooh, it's Halloween. Let's be scared today. I want you to watch this series and then in like June, it'll pop back up in your head and be like, oh, yeah, we're all going to die.
Man, I love that, Chess. Yeah.
Good parenting.
That's really, we've discussed a lot of parenting things. That's what we've learned today.
Yeah.
That Ernest really carries a lot of truths about being a parent. And I think we've given some excellent advice today on how to parent your children.
Yeah. Trash man wants to take your kid into the woods. Oh, well, it's fine.
That's fine. He's just building them a fort.
Yep.
Nothing to worry.
All right. Well, next week we're going to have a top 10 for you. I'm excited about that. Maybe I'll check out some more Ernest, but if I'm being honest with you, nope.
Come on, Chaz.
Hopefully not going to. Watch my kids get really into Ernest.
Yeah, I hope. Oh, man, that would be great. And you're just forced to have to watch Ernest all the time. Man, that'd be perfect.
All right, maybe Disney Plus hold off on the Ernest stuff because if they come across it. All right, but that's all I got.
See ya.